Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And that is the Jets general manager, Joe Douglas, who came to town yesterday, had his press conference and everything, and is nice enough to reschedule and come on with us today. Joe, welcome. How are you? Mike Francesa on WFAN. How are you?
Hi, Mike. I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me today.
My pleasure. Thank you. Welcome to town.
Good to be here. Excited to get going.
You know, when they came calling, what was your thoughts? I mean, you have trepidations, did you have reservations? What was your thoughts, Joe?
So, you know, when the notification came in, how he came office and said, "Hey, the Jets want to talk to you about their general manager position." Obviously, that was a flattering moment. But also, thoughts were, okay, let's get prepared for this. You know, and get to know the team a little bit. I was able to watch a couple games, watch a few games, get to know the roster, get to know the players a little bit on the film, and then get ready. And just, you know, having a relationship with Adam, knowing what he was all about, with the year we were together in Chicago, I had comfort. I had comfort coming up, and you know, I just wanted to meet the entire organization.
You obviously have taken the steps that people take to get to be the general manager. You've obviously checked off each of the boxes along the way. Why was this the right spot?
You know, I'd say this is the right spot. One, because I think the head coach GM relationship has got to be strong, and I think I have an understanding of Adam and how he wants to build his team. I think coming here, not having met Mr. Johnson, Christopher Johnson, and being able to spend time with him and having a comfort level with him and getting to know what his vision, what his thoughts were on this franchise. And I think after talking with Christopher, one, I knew that this was an outstanding person, a man of high integrity, a genuine person, authentic guy, a straight shooter. And I felt like the way that he felt the importance of chemistry and teamwork and building what it takes to build a strong organization, I think those things aligned with my thoughts.
How important was to have the young quarterback?
Very important. Very important. You know, it's the most important position in all professional sports, in my opinion. You have to have one to have success, short-term and long-term, in my opinion. And having a guy like Sam Darnold, who just turned 22 years old, who showed impressive flashes in his rookie season, especially his last four games, which I watched, you know, you can't help but get excited about a guy like that. Just watching his athleticism, seeing how he was able to, you know, quickly go through progressions, get the ball out on time, get the ball out accurately, and with decisiveness, it was something that fired me up, actually.
You and the head coach only really spent 1 year together, right, in Chicago, so you guys became pretty close in that year, it's fair to say?
I mean, not even a year. Like, I think I got there in May, and then Adam got the job in Miami in January, so not even a year. But when I first came to Lake Forest and, you know, went through the building, I mean, me and Adam hit it off immediately. Energetic, passionate guy, extremely smart. You know, we both believe the same thing on what it takes to build a successful franchise, successful team. You know, it takes the right people and the right mindset.
You believe what's your belief about theory about what kind of football players you're looking for, Joe? I mean, what is your belief about this stuff as far as how you want to build a team?
Well, I think you have to have a talented team, no doubt. I mean, you have to have the required measurables. You have to have the right stuff athletically. But, you know, everybody's at this level, everybody's talented, everybody's athletic. You know, what separates you know, good teams from bad, and you know, I think oftentimes it's the things you can't measure. You know, the toughness, resiliency, you know, every season presents its own challenges, you know, and you're looking for guys that are mentally, physically, and psychologically tough. They can pick themselves up and dust themselves off and keep going. You know, so guys that are great teammates, guys that are selfless, guys that will sacrifice for their teammates, guys that have their teammates' back. I mean, so those are a lot of the type of players and people that we're looking for.
You came from obviously under Ozzie Newsome. Obviously, we know the lineage. Who has been the biggest influence on your thought about how to build a team?
That's a good question, Mike. I'd say Ozzie, for sure.
Right. I mean, one of the best for sure.
I really, really was blessed to work for.
And Bear Bryant told me in an interview, Joe, the greatest player, the greatest athlete he ever coached was Ozzie Newsome.
I think
he said two. He said I had two. He said Joe Namath and Ozzie Newsome. But he said if I had to pick one, I'd pick Ozzie Newsome.
Man, I hope that I get to meet Joe Namath soon. That's going to be a.
Yeah.
A real treat.
Oh, absolutely. That's a big thrill for anybody. Still a thrill when I see him now. I tell you, all these years later, he's you know, he's that big. You know, there's only one Joe Namath. I agree. But Ozzie Newsome was a legendary figure in this league.
Absolutely. He's probably in every Hall of Fame in Alabama and, you know, baseball, basketball, football. High school, college, he's just about in every Hall of Fame. But it's not just, obviously everyone knows what kind of player he is, but it's the person, the most consistent person I've ever been around. And a guy that, you know, when you talk about leadership, Ozzie's not a rah-rah, scream and yell leader. He's not a leader that, you know, he's not going to be coercive. He's not going to say, you know, if you don't do this, you know, you're out of here. It's he truly leads by example. He doesn't, you know, he gives you the freedom to do your job the way you want to paint the picture on the player the way you want to. And he's just a guy. I mean, he's the greatest leader because he's the type of leader that you never want to let down because you know he's always got your back. I mean, again, truly blessed to have worked for Ozzie for so long.
What made the Eagles successful in your mind?
You know, I think we're able. I think one, Doug Peterson did an amazing job in a short time. You know, we had struggles our first year. We start off 3-0, and we hit some potholes along the way. We finished 7-9, and you know, I think Doug did a great job that off season, and his messaging with the team was outstanding. And it just became about ownership and accountability to each other. And I think we had such a good locker room, you know, with guys like Brent Celek, guys like Chris Long, and you know, we added explosive pieces like Alshon and Torrey, and it just all came together. And then you wrap it around a quarterback like Carson Wentz, who was on his way to a MVP season before the injury, and you know, we really had it going. And then, you know, having a guy like Nick Foles as your number two quarterback, and who just had such ability to connect and engage with his teammates, and you know, everyone rallied around the cause, and it just was such a special season, the 2017 year.
We're talking with Joe Douglas, the Jets' new general manager, an old offensive lineman, and interesting. I bring that up for this reason. I think, Joe, that's the hardest thing now with the new rules, with the ridiculous practice schedule they have in training camp, with everything. I think that's the hardest part of the team to build and to keep built is that offensive line. And I think that probably destroys more teams than anything else in this league right now. It's really tough to get an offensive line built now and cohesive.
Mike, it all starts up front. I could talk about O-line forever.
I'm sure, but, and I agree with that. And I think it's the hardest thing to do. You always want to get a quarterback. I understand that. But offensive lines, they don't get time to practice. Free agency takes your lines apart money-wise. You don't have any depth because that's the way the league is now. Offensive lines are hard to keep in one piece.
Right. I mean, I think committing to the O-line, I think a lot of people say it. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. And I think committing to them, not only with acquisitions, you know, however you acquire them,
right,
but developing them. And, you know, it takes great coaches. It takes great position coaches. It takes great coordinators. It takes great strength and conditioning coaches. It, you know, it truly takes a village, not just for O-line, but every position. But, you know, it's such a position. It's a position that is so technique oriented. I mean, it's things that you just have to. I mean, these guys are 300-pound, you know, ballet dancers almost. With, I mean, the precision of the steps, and you know, people that don't know the game, they really don't understand, you know, what is asked of offensive linemen. I mean, these guys have to have the precision of a skill guy, as far
and
as
great football. Flexibility too.
Yeah. You have to have great lower body flexibility. You have to have that precision. You have to have flexibility. You have to have power, and you have to be really smart. I mean, you have to be able to diagnose quickly on the move. You got to know when defensive linemen are getting ready to stunt. You know, you're looking at front tendencies, different blitz looks. You got to be able to adjust on the fly. So there's a lot that goes into playing offensive line, you know, and it's more than just big, long athletes. I mean, these guys, you're asking a lot of these guys. And frankly, the way that these D-lines are constructed nowadays in the NFL, there's a lot of impressive athletes on the D-line. So it just makes having an offensive line that much more important.
I agree. I also think it's key if you can get these guys who are versatile enough to play multiple positions, because, you know, it's hard now with the way it is. If you have a guy who you can plug in, like a guy like Deal was for the Giants, who you could plug in anywhere on that line, I mean, it makes such a big difference when you have these injuries where you have guys who, you know, because, you know, you can get a Dallas line, I guess, if you want to use all those first-round picks and pay a lot of money. But, I mean, for the most part, it's hard to get guys who are tough and versatile on that line.
No doubt, Mike. And you, I look back to our the Philadelphia game against Jacksonville in London. I mean, we had both our left tackle and our right tackle went down the game. So, you know, we had our starting left guard playing right tackle. You know, he went from left guard to right tackle, and then at one point he went over to left tackle. I mean, so like that kind of versatility in a game, if you don't have guys that can do that, I mean, that can sink the game for you. And versatility on the offensive line is important. But, you know, I think you see around the league at many different positions, versatility is important.
Oh, without question. We're talking with Joe Douglas. You know, you talked about yesterday, and you made a good impression talking about coming in and having a sense of urgency, which is something that Jet fans haven't heard a lot of, and also talking about wanting tough players and tough-minded players.
No doubt. I mean, I think anyone in the NFL should have that sense of urgency. I mean, this is an intense sport with intense people, and you have to have an intense mindset and a competitive mindset. And I mean, we're looking for guys that are going to come out here every day and compete. And you know, as far as the toughness is considered, I mean, not only physically, I mean, not just physically guys that are going to try to, you know, beat you up, but you got to be, like I alluded to earlier, you got to be psychologically and mentally tough to battle back from some of the ups and downs of games and seasons.
What have you seen as Gase as a coach that you like?
I love his aggressive mindset. You know, I think one of the unique things about Adam is I think a lot of times you'll see, you know, maybe different in college and some in pros, you'll see coaches that they just want players for their system, you know. And I think Adam does a great job and does what a lot of coaches should do, and they tailor the offense to the strengths of their players. And you know, he's got an infectious personality. He's got you know, he's an outgoing guy. He's he has a great rapport with the players on the practice field. And it's been fun to get out here and see the intensity of these guys work this week.
You know, there was this perception, I think, Joe, when this started, the way it all came down, was that you were just going to be the coach's guy. Now, I got the idea during this negotiation that that's not the case, that you came in and wanted certain lines of authority. Is that fair to say?
I mean, lines of authority, I mean,
in terms of who cuts the roster and stuff like
that? Right. You know, whoever has that decision, I mean, it's not like you're trying to use that as a hammer.
No, but still, I just think you have to break ties. Somebody's got to break ties,
right,
you know?
Right. I mean, you know, one of the things that I'm big on personally is, you know, just the open lines of communication and collaborating with all the coaches. I mean, you know, we'll get into the draft room at some point today, and we're going to go over our team, and you want to get input, you know, from not only the head coach and the coordinators, but every coach that gets a chance to work with these guys, and all of that leads to those kind of decisions. So, you know, I don't think it's just one or two guys making those decisions. I mean, obviously, you know, there are some tight calls, but it's definitely a process where everyone gets a say.
But you think this is a coach you can work with?
There's no doubt. There's no doubt, Mike.
And, you know, you check off coach, you check off quarterback. Owner's the other one. I've always learned that there's three things that if you're the GM, you want to look at. You want to look at owner, you want to look at quarterback, you want to look at coach. Ownership here has been a little, you know, a little different, to say the least. Could you get an early feel on that? Was that something you had to be comfortable with? And are you comfortable with what you've seen from what you heard from ownership?
I am comfortable, Mike. I can tell you that. And so I tried to come in with no preconceived notions, and just on my interview come in the building and just open myself up to them and just get to try to get a feel. And I can tell you that I had an unbelievable conversation, multiple conversations with Christopher Johnson. And, you know, I do think that we share a lot of the same vision when it comes to what it's going to take to build a winning program here.
We're talking with Joe Douglas. Joe, was this the first time you interviewed for a GM job?
This is. Or was, I should say.
You're 42, which is young. For how long do you think you've been ready, and how long have you been thinking about? Now, listen, everyone waits for their chance and wants their chance. I understand that. I know guys who are in the same job you've been in for years. I know some of them for years. You want to wait and get the call. Why are you? Have you been ready for a while, and you've been waiting for the call, or is it just now you'd say you're ready?
You know, I don't know if you know you're ready until you actually, you know, get there and get
there. That's fair.
You know,
fair.
And I would say it's almost like the feeling like, you know, before me and my wife Shannon were getting ready to have our first child, like you think like, yeah, like I'm ready to be a father, and then you know, the baby comes, is like, oh boy, like,
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that my first week here so far has been unbelievable, and it's been great getting to know not only the coaching staff but everyone in football operations, people on the business side, and the organization couldn't have been more welcoming to me this first week.
Is this something, what was the path that took you into the front office of football? Did you go right from being a player to a scout?
So the origin story of that, I was playing at Richmond.
Right.
At University of Richmond. This was back in the late 90s,
yep.
Many, many moons ago. And
didn't get drafted?
Did not. No, no.
Okay.
Now we did have we had a pretty good team for 1AA standards. We were one of the top ranked teams in the country.
Who was that? Reed was your coach?
Yeah, Jim Reed.
Okay.
And
yeah.
He's the defensive coordinator.
He's at BC now, right?
He's at BC.
Yeah.
And I could talk about Coach Reed for.
Gotcha.
Hours.
I know who he is. I know him. Yeah.
Intense. I mean, I love Coach Reed. But anyway, so I made the decision that. Well, one, I was going to try to work out with these guys. We had two guys get drafted.
Right.
We had one of them was Mark Megna, who was drafted by the Jets under Coach Parcells. And, you know, Mark was an unbelievable nose tackle for us that ended up being converted to inside backer for Coach Parcells. And, you know, he was an unbelievable player, so all the scouts were coming and working out Mark. And then there was another player, unbelievable converted quarterback from Pittsburgh. His name was Eric King, and he was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs. And so, you know, I played O-line, Eric played O-line, and a bunch of scouts were coming to work Eric. They weren't coming to work me out. But I would jump in, and when after the workout, I'd hand scouts my resume. I'd just say, hey, look, I know I really don't have a shot to play, but one, I'd ask, like, hey, how'd I do? They're like, you know, not bad. But I knew I really didn't have a shot to play, but say, hey, I would really like to get into scouting. And I had talked with my position coach, Frank Leonard, who's actually a tight ends coach at Boston College now, about getting into scouting. And he had coached Scott Pioli.
Know him well. Yeah.
I believe at Central Connecticut.
Sure.
And so I was able to talk with Scott. I was able to interview, go on a few interviews, decided that I wanted to get into personnel. And lo and behold, I had an opportunity to, in 2000, to join the Baltimore Ravens as a player personnel assistant.
How good is that?
Start at the very bottom.
Yep.
But it was great. I mean, just being around, you know, when you get to walk into an organization.
I remember when Scott Mangini came to town the first time when they were raw rookies. I remember them doing the same thing.
Right, no doubt. And, you know, just being able to walk into a building where you had coaches, you know, coaches like Marvin Lewis and Jack Del Rio and
yep.
Rex Ryan and Mike Smith and, you know, Hall of Fame players like Jonathan Ogden and Ray Lewis and Shannon Sharp, Rod Woodson, and just being able to walk out on the practice field and see those guys move around and practice and the intensity of those practices. And I was very blessed to have gotten an opportunity there.
And if I can count, you must have three Super Bowl rings?
Three?
Yeah, yes, not bad. Yes, you know, the Jet fans would like you to get a fourth, you know.
I hear you. That is the mission.
It's been a long time. You know, it's been a long time since Mr. Namath. So they would like to get it. Tell me what talking to the Jet fans, what can you tell them that they can expect from their team with you at the helm?
Well, I can promise that I'm not going to stop working until we find the right guys for this team. We're going to try to build a locker room that can withstand any storm that the league throws at it. And, try to build a tough-minded group, a team that tries to impose their will on other teams that can last longer than other teams. So, that's what we're going to try to do. And, hopefully if you do that, you know, the wins will come, you know, and that's what we're going to be working to get done.
Well, listen, good luck. Appreciate a couple of minutes. Thank you for rescheduling from yesterday. Appreciate it. Good luck and welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mike.
My
appreciate
pleasure.
It.
Thank
Have
you.
A great
Joe,
day.
Joe Douglas, the general manager of the Jets. So we go from Pete Alonso, who has burst on the scene, to the newest executive in town, Joe Douglas, who now is the boss of the Jets, back after this.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming on Hulu.